James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2. And then we can follow along until we finish at verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Ready? I'll start in verse 22. The Bible reads for us, James 1, 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 23. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Verse 25 together. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you're going to present to us your word now, we pray. Just as Jesus preached in first century Palestine and his on the mountain or in the house or anywhere he was, I pray, as the people pressed towards him, they were attentive to his words. I pray, Lord, today that they will be attentive to your words as well. Today, as a congregation, as we hear your word, you will speak to us in a special way. And Father, may I hide as your servant behind the cross, and the Holy Spirit will be the one to take the living words of God, to impress it upon our hearts, that our lives will change according to your will. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, there were two men who went hunting. And these two men were not very good shots, meaning that they are like me. If there's an elephant in front of you, you can't hit it. Okay? So these two men, they were walking around in the forest and trying to just get rabbits. Okay. They were not very good shots, and so after a few hours of walking around the forest, there were many rabbits that passed them. They saw many rabbits as well. So after a few hours, one poor shot said to another, "Tell you what, time is running out and it's going to be dark. Let's just miss the next two shots and call it a day. Let's just miss the next two shots." And when I read that, it's like, what? You know, the illustration here is, unfortunately, this happened to many people. They say it's not enough to be busy, someone once said. One must also get results. Okay? In 1986, a group of researchers published a study of Japanese mothers and mothers in the U.S. And the mothers were asked to rank the most important thing a child needs to succeed academically. The answers tell a lot about the difference of the two cultures today. Number one, the mothers in the U.S. chose the thing that children will excel academically is ability. The mothers in Japan believe the thing that will help children to excel academically is effort. It's totally different between the two. The Bible teaches in Galatians 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap." In other words, what you sow will be what you get. Growing in the Christian lives requires work. And it is amazing, many Christians don't think so. You know what they do? They just pray, "Oh God, help me to grow." And they will pray every day, "God, help me to grow." And they do nothing about their Christian life. They sit and pray and expect God to do everything for them. 2 Peter 1 verse 5, that is contrary to Scripture. In 2 Peter 1 verse 5, I just give you the verse, it's not written in there, but it's written in the Bible. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." Giving all diligence, add to your faith. The Apostle Peter was very clear, Christian growth is not going to come if you don't do anything. But giving all diligence, add to your faith. Proverbs 14 verse 4, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of an ox." What does that mean? If there is no animal in the barn, everything will be in its proper place. But much increase is by the strength of an ox. If you want profit, if you want outcomes, if you want to grow, there needs to be the strength of an ox. If I'm not wrong, Christ Church Secondary School, their motto is? What's the motto of Christ Church Secondary School? No, I'm looking the wrong way. No one is in Christ Church. Oh, the teacher's not here. Okay, pray and work. Okay, that's the... sorry, I'm looking at the wrong person. But the Bible says when we do not put in effort, there was not going to be growth in our Christian life. Okay? Pastor James, in this book of James, was concerned for one thing among the Jews. They were hearing the word of God, but nothing much was happening in their lives. They were hearing God's word. They know God's word. They were faithful in attendance in the synagogues, but nothing is happening in their lives. Now, I'd like to see three truths from God's word today. Look at James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Let me just expound verse 22. But be ye doers. The word doers means to be a performer of the word. In other words, don't just hear, do. The assumption in there that the Jewish people were very faithful at the synagogue. And so they are. They are. Be doers of the word and not hearers. The word hearers means to listen, only deceiving your own self. The word deceiving is interesting. When a Christian hears the word but don't do anything, they deceive themselves. The word deceive means using logic. By logic, we make the wrong conclusions. Okay? Number one truth we find from here, listening to God's word without doing the word is self-deception. Because the Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Become doers of the word, James says, don't only hear it. Because if you sit in a service and hear preaching, and then there are many Christians who think like that, I've done my duty because I've gone to church, I don't have to do anything else. And so they come to church, they sit down, they give their offering, they sing four hymns, some five, some six, some churches they may sing more. And after that they hear the word of God, and they say, goodbye, hello brother so-and-so, and they go home and live exactly the way they live their lives. And the Jewish believers were doing that all the time, and James was concerned because he says, don't be doers of the word, not hearers only. The assumption that James gives is that these people have been hearing the word for a long time, and nothing is happening in their lives. It is not possible for us to hear God's word without the change. It's God's will that we do the word and obey the word. God gave us 10 commandments. He did not give us 10 suggestions. Okay? God, the Bible is a book not to be discussed, but a book to be obeyed. And that is something we need to understand. Matthew 12:50, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 28 verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Jesus made it clear, the church was to do one thing, get people saved, baptize them, and to teach them to do what Jesus told them to do. Now, there was an early study dealing with the perception or prejudice of some people. And it's interesting because in this particular study, they were trying to find out how our perceptions determine our conclusion. And so they had a group of people from New York, an American illustration, people from New York City. They had a black man and a white man. All right, and we know that black men and white men in America usually has a racial connotation, even up to today, sadly. All right, when the Lord Jesus said there is no Greek or Jew in Christ, but all are same in Christ. But these people, the black and the white. And one of them was dressed in a suit and was giving money. The other person was dressed in work clothes, overalls, or one of those workman overalls, and was having a knife in his hand. Okay? In the experiment, the black man was in a suit and giving the money. The white man was in the overalls and using the knife on the black man, in other words, trying to extort money from the black man. But in the study, interestingly, they were asked, what's the first thought that came to your mind when you see the black man, white man? The respondent said, when we saw the black man, immediately we associated the black man with a working class person capable of robbery, capable of stealing. And the white man, only an executive, generous. And when they saw the reverse, their mind could not manage that change. And the outcome was this. I'll just read ahead. It's very interesting. It says, blacks were the robbers, whites were the victims. And as they reported what their mind told them they saw, the black laborer, they actually saw the black laborer assaulting the white businessman. Even though the picture was opposite. And the outcome of that, as human beings who desperately desire our lives to be consistent and untroubled, we will go to great lengths to reject a message that implies we are wrong. Wow. I hope we understand what God is trying to tell us. And sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth helps. Amen? And sometimes because our prejudice in the way we see things, and when someone presents a contrary view that is based on God's word, they say, no, I'm still right. Have you ever tried to counsel someone who just cannot see your point? Even though you know that guy is off. Why do some of us know what to do and do not do it? We rationalize that we are right, and through our own desires and motivations, we want to hold on to what we want, and therefore we deceive ourselves and lose what God wants for us. John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They prefer to do the wrong thing continuously. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39 and verse 40. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. For they are they which testify of me. The Lord Jesus is very clear. Go through the Bible. There were people who were skeptical about Jesus. All of us know Jesus is the truth, yes? But the Lord Jesus was speaking to a group of people who did not believe that. And Jesus says, okay, don't believe me, search the Bible. Every word in the Bible, every story, every thinking, teaching in the Bible reflects the fact that Jesus is God. But look at verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Search the scriptures. It tells you about me. You believe Moses, right? Moses talked about me. But Jesus made it clear, and you will not come to me. It's a decision they made based on their own perception. As James said, they deceived themselves. When God's word is spoken, they say, no, I don't need that. I wish so-and-so were here. That message was for them. Have you thought that before? I hope not. But I believe all of us will kind of think, no, I wish so-and-so were here. But you know what? This message is always for us first. Amen. God wants to deal with us. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe God's best? That God's best is in this book, in the Bible? And I believe many of us know that this is God's word. But do you believe that God's best for you is in this word? There are many times we do things our way, but God wants to interrupt our life, not because He wants to mess up our life. Did you know that? He wants to put it back together. Amen? Some of us can see things in our life that say, hey, it's not going the right way. And God interjects with His word and say, nope. I think this way is still better, and we do not do God's. And we deceive ourselves. And why aren't we following all of the book if we know it's the best? Because we being deceived by ourselves, we are being deceived by ourselves that we are right. And we think our ways are right, and we don't have to change. The Bible says, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, there's this worldly song that says, listen to your heart, right? God says, don't listen to your heart. Who are you going to listen to? God or the worldly song? You know what? The worldly song's played again and again, listen to your heart, listen to your heart, listen to your heart. You know why? You know what the devil's trying to indoctrinate you? Don't listen to God. But God says, your heart is deceitful. Because we are sinful by nature. Because if your heart is not deceitful, you will be doing the right thing all the time. Amen. You would be able to see the right thing and do the right thing at the same time. A school teacher one time lost her life savings in a particular country, in the U.S., okay? And she went to complain, or rather she went to this place, and it was the money she had. There was a swindler who, you know the scam in Singapore, a lot of scams, right? So she lost her life savings to scammers. And when her investment disappeared, her dream was shattered. She went to this place called the Better Business Bureau, BBB. All right. Apparently, there's this Better Business. They will give you, you can consult with them. They give you investment advice and all that. And say, you know about Better Business Bureau, right? She said, yes. I've always known about you. But I didn't come to you because I was afraid. You tell me not to do it. How many of you has deliberately not speak to someone or some group of people because you knew what they were going to say and you didn't want to listen to that? You know what? You're deceiving yourselves. And this lady lost her whole life savings. All counsel by the will of God is to get us and help us get better. But we deceive ourselves. In Ezekiel verse 33, let's look at that. All this is an indictment of Israel by God. And God wants to open up our hearts to help us to see where we need to be. Ezekiel 33, verse 31, 32, "And they come unto thee as a people cometh." God is telling Ezekiel, they're going to come to you. "They sit before thee as thy my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art a people to them as a lovely thing, that had a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." I've had one person come to me many years ago, and I was preaching, and he would ask me different questions. I really thought he wanted to learn. Today he rejects God, doesn't have a married an unbeliever, and he would fight anything spiritual. Looking back, perhaps, realizing that person was just trying to patronize me. But you know what? You can ask questions, but it doesn't change your life. What good is it? God is very clear. Just like what Ezekiel, there's a group of people who listen to Ezekiel. "Oh, your preaching is so wonderful." The wonderful preaching is not going to help you. It's the obedience to what God says is going to help you. And that's why James was concerned for the Jewish people. Don't just listen to the word. Because otherwise, you will be deceiving your own selves. Hearing the word, are we deceiving ourselves that we are good Christians just because we come to church? And we're doing some basic things. When God is specifically telling us to do certain things. Truth number two. James chapter 1, verse 23, 24. "If any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Number two, the principle Paul James expounds here is listening to the word without doing it, without performing the word, leaves our lives unchanged. And that's a very direct consequence of that. The purpose of the word of God is to change our lives. When God speaks a word into our life, or rather he speaks to us through his holy word. For example, let's say if I have an anger problem, God's going to say, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath." In other words, control your anger. Deal with that before the sun goes down. Control yourself. Bible says, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Only fools who have no regard for God is angry all the time at the smallest things. And when I take hold, "Oh God, if anger rests in the bosom of fools, that means every time I get angry over the little things, I'm a fool. I'm not considering that your Holy Spirit can give me the strength and grace to overcome." Amen? God does give us the strength, but when we reject that and get angry, and God says, "I'm a fool." And I allow God, "Thank you for teaching me that. Give me your grace and your Holy Spirit as I yield to it so that I won't get angry easily." Through that, through obedience to God's word, God changes us. The purpose of the word of God is to change us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become." You know the word "are become" has the idea of "are becoming new." We don't change overnight, but we change on a regular basis. You must be a better Christian this year than you were last year. Amen? You must be a better Christian this year than 2 years ago. The people around you ought to be seeing that there's a change in your life from this year compared to last year. And the friends around you may have to make comments like, "Hey, you're not the same. You're not the same as you were last time. Last time you were running with us, you were crack dirty jokes, but now you only tell the truth and you're trying to comfort us," or that kind of thing. And your life has changed. Your parents need to see a change in your life, teens and children, as you grow in Christ. But if we don't do what God says, it leaves our lives unchanged. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had among you. Paul was saying to the Thessalonian church, look, you guys prove what God has done in your life as we come to you with God's word. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul was saying, look, when we came in with the word of God, your heart was so open, you immediately removed the idols in your life and you put God on the pedestal of your life. Because you know that God doesn't change and you can serve Him with all your heart. And God is a loving God. And that's why there was a change. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. I think that's turned there, I believe. Or is it printed there? Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Sometimes I put in, I can't remember it. Okay? If you can turn there, let me just read. This is a very important verse with regards to after we become Christians, what actually happens to us. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. The Bible says that when we became Christians, spiritually, we were crucified with Christ on the cross. That means all the sins of our life were put on the cross. Just as Jesus took our sins on the cross, as Christians, we are crucified on the cross spiritually. When we are taken off the cross and are buried with Him, and Jesus was buried, all our sins were buried with Christ. And when we actually, as Jesus rose from the dead with newness of life, and everything that is fresh about Christ, we also receive. God says what? We are no longer controlled by our sinful nature. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, I hope Christians, you know that when you are Christians, you are no longer under control by old sinful self. Listen to me. When you have if you have a sinful anger, for example, and say, no, I cannot control myself. God says, yes, you can. Because I've killed your old self, and you, under the control of the Holy Spirit, if you allow Him, can control you. And you can overcome your anger problem. You can overcome your financial problems if you allow God to take charge of your covetousness and turn it into hard work to glorify Him. Okay? There is no bad habit. There is no habits in your life that God cannot overcome. Otherwise, let's change our God. I believe with all my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful, He can change anyone who gives his life to Him. Anyone. Apostle Paul, example. Manasseh, those of you who know Manasseh was an evil king, one of the most sinful kings of Israel. And guess what? Towards the end of his life, Manasseh trusted Christ. In prison, God reached him. Some of us say, oh, that's not fair. You know, Manasseh is an evil king. God should have let him die and go to hell. No, that's not our God. That's not our God. No matter how wicked and filthy we are, God still loves us with His abiding love. He will do all He can to reach every sinner. But when we hear God's word and we don't do what God says, we're not going to have any change. We're not going to change your life. In our salvation, God has already implanted a program for change. At salvation, when we confess our sins, God has already given us, we have died to ourselves, God has already given us His Holy Spirit, which is the agent of change. With the Word of God, understanding God's will, the Holy Spirit takes it, applies it to our heart, and we say, yes, I allow You to apply Your Word, Lord, into my life. God, the Holy Spirit, makes that change. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Please look there. That is a very important verse. With regards to the agency of the Holy Spirit, as we respond to the Word, and interestingly, 2 Corinthians 3 would look us back to James chapter 1. How do I see that? But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul tells the Corinthian church, saying, look, we all with open face. Last time we were always hiding under the law, or rather we were hiding under our own sin, but now with open face, with openness, we look as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. What does that verse remind you of? James chapter 1. And a person who sees the word, if any be a hearer of the word, not doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about reflecting our sinful lives against the moral standard of God's word. And as we allow the Word of God and we see in Christ, I'm always telling lies. God is a God of truth. I'm always having filthy, evil thoughts. There is no guile in Him. I'm always hateful, perhaps, but God is love. And in the Bible, I see the image of Jesus Christ. And as I allow the image of Jesus Christ, as I read the Word of God, as I say, God, I am filthy sinner, but You are such a pure and loving God. And as I allow God to move in my heart and say, God, I want to obey You, we are changed into the image in the Bible. Does it make sense? And it is so important, many Christians, because they do not allow the Holy Spirit to change us, we remain unchanged. And then we wonder why life is so bad. How do we know what the glory of the Lord we just mentioned? The mirror shows us exactly who we are. The Bible says, beholding your natural face. You know what's a natural face? You know what's a natural face? The face you're born with. Right? The face you're born with. And if it's a natural face, it simply means in the Bible, you are confronted with who you are. All your weaknesses, your sinful, blind spots. You know, God in His... When a dad or a mom confronts the errors in a children, is it because the dad and mom say, I'm going to kill you for your error. I'm going to break your bones. Is that the attitude that mom and dad have? Do you know why God actually wants to confront us sometimes with regards to ourselves? Because He wants to change us to become more like Him. To be gentle, to be patient. And sometimes God says, hey, you jump too quickly at someone. And God says, look, I need you to be under control by the Holy Spirit so you have self-control. God wants to change us slowly to be like Him. James in chapter 1, verse 23 says, our natural face has the idea of our weaknesses. But when we hear the word of God, but do not act immediately on the impressions given to us, the areas we need to change, and we say later, and we say, oh, later then I'll do. You know what? You will forget what manner of man you are. How many of you remember what I preached last week? You know, this is a common question. But it's amazing how quickly we forget. Do you know, it's interesting, when I read this, I finally realized, you know why we have to make decisions immediately when you hear the word of God? Because God says, if you hear God's word, and you have an impression in your heart, God is telling me to give up this sin, or give up this, and or do right, or forgive this person, or whatever. And then we say, wait, God. And we leave. Guess what? You will forget it. Because the Bible says here in verse 24, for He beholdeth Himself, and goeth His way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man He was. Now, ladies, when you look in the mirror in the morning and see a spot on your face, what do? How many of you say, oh yeah, I'm sick, I don't do anything about it. Never mind, I just go to work with that spot on my face. How many of you would do that? How many of you will spend more than 1 hour in front of the mirror? Nothing wrong with that. They need to make things right, okay? How many of you guys have seen guys wake up with the kind of hair, you know, he just woken up, even though he's seen the mirror? And saw the mirror and the hair is like, you know the... Never mind, it's okay. And the kind of hairstyle and say, you just woke up, right?
Yeah.
Did you look at your hair?
Yeah.
You don't comb your hair?
No.
You know, have you seen some guys like they don't worry about their hair and all that? You know what the Bible says? There's one word for that. You know what that word starts? There's one word for that. It starts with P. You know what that word is? Procrastination. James is telling these Jewish readers, look, you are sitting in front of God's word, and God is highlighting as you allow the natural face to behold the image of Christ. And God says, look, I need this area to be changed. Or there is a ching chun to, no, a pimple over there. And I need you to put your Oxy 5 or whatever you use. I only know Oxy 5, Oxy 10. I don't know whether Oxy 20. I don't know. Okay, they only... Or maybe put some extra facial powder. I don't know. You know, guys don't do that. In fact, nowadays, I learn from the youth, they learn about... what's called that? The men... The men also want to look good. Or metrosexual, okay? Even men want to look good. Go Korea, change this, change that. And They put so much effort into changing. And sometimes, what God is telling us, when we hear the word of God, we need to respond immediately. And I believe now, it's a biblical principle. When you hear God's impressions in your heart, you need to act on it quickly. Otherwise, when you leave, you will forget it. That's what God says. He being a forgetful hearer. One of the key reasons why Christians don't change, because we are forgetful hearers. We don't act. We give the excuse or the reason, I'll deal with it later. And guess what? We totally forget what God says. James is challenging us this morning. When the word of God is preached and God shows us our natural face, the areas of weakness and sins, and gives us the instruction and the power to change, at the moment, if we leave the setting without acting on it, we forget about it. The word of God will not benefit us and therefore will not change us. Hebrews 4 verse 2, the word of God, for unto us was the gospel preached, but the word, as unto them, but the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Is your life changed since you heard the word of God? Is any area of your life changed since you've heard the word of God? Praise God, some of you have taken the step of faith in baptism following the Lord. Let me ask you, are you a better person to live with ever since you became a Christian? Are you an easier person to live with? Does the love of Christ control your heart to the point that it's very easy for another person to see the light of Christ in your life? Do your colleagues feel that you are more hardworking, more obedient to your boss? I'm not saying bosses are easy people to work with, but are you a better person? Have you given up sins in your life as a result of becoming a Christian? Are you more caring? Are you more understanding? Are you more hateful of sin? Do you still watch those movies that you know are the wrong things in your life? Those immoral stuff. Are you still, teenagers, are you still listening to those bad music? You know it's bad. You know it's been preached, and God says it breeds rebellion in your life. Are you still continuing in those? Are you giving up certain things in your life as much as you hear God say? Listening to the word of God without doing it will leave your life unchanged. It is probably possible that many Christians today remain the same as they were 2, 3, 5 years ago simply because they do not do what God tells them to do. Some people say, no, Brother Johnny, my life is dry, I'm not growing. Must be the church is not doing right. You know, I need to change church so everything will be fine. There was this man, there was this young preacher who was preaching, and he was given a Spanish congregation. I know he's an English person, and he's got to preach to a Spanish. They're Spaniards, not Spaniards, sorry, they're Hispanics. You know, Hispanics, people who come down, apparently when the harvest is there, they needed extra help. The Hispanics, they will be employed, and they'll do gardening, and not gardening, they'll be involved in harvesting and all that. And so there was a young preacher who was asked, why don't you, when the parents are at work, the children are running around, why don't you just have a vacation Bible school kind of thing, you know, and bring the children in? And so, okay, so this young preacher and his wife started to prepare the VBS for 5 days, and kind of like what we do. And the last day was interesting because they wanted to invite the parents to come. Okay? And so the parents came on a Friday. These two American preachers, the lady and the man, they were just trying their best to reach these people, but they were getting frustrated. The children had their presentation, and it was their time to do the presentation. But you know, after they do the presentation, like, you know, children, you know why children, I'll give you a clue, you know why we put your you know, in our anniversary, right? We put your item at the last before the message. You know why? Do you know why? Because if you put your item at the first, after that, you will be, over already. That's why we put you, we keep that pressure all the way. And then when you finish, you go to chapel. And so this Hispanic children, and they were just reading their verses and their songs. Then after, when they're all done, they all wanted to go to the toilet. Okay, so it was a hard time. And this was trying to manage the crowd. And then all the parents were sitting behind, and they were talking in the language. They thought they didn't know whether they were cursing him or blessing him and all that. And then he came out to preach, and he was very frustrated, and he was praying, God, please help me. And he preached, and then after that, at the end, he gave an invitation. He said, I want to finish this quickly and get out of this. And he said, anyone want to get saved? And just put up your hand. 5 hands went up. And then he said, you don't understand my question. So he gave an invitation again and through the same five person. And God woke him up and says, look, it's not you that are going to save them. It's the preaching of my word. Now, sometimes we attach. As much as the man of God needs to be consistent with the word, remember, it's God's word that changes your life, not the man. Man has no power to change. God's word has. And we need to understand, when we hear the word of God, whether it's from a charismatic preacher in terms of his ability to expound the word of God, or it's from a monotonous preacher like Jonathan Edwards. How many of you know Jonathan Edwards? Jonathan Edwards was known to be a monotone preacher. And he would preach the word of God. Low. The same tone. And before the message ends, you'll fall asleep. You know? But did you know, some of you who know history, that Jonathan Edwards was the key in preaching the message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that sparked off the revival in New England in America. During that time, listen to me, during that time, the churches were filled with church members who were not saved. Because they believe that as long as my mother or my grandmother is in the church, I'm automatically a Christian in the church. It came to a time, people were just attending church because their mother and grandmother has been attending church for generations. And to them it's, I'm a Christian because I go to church. No, you don't become an aeroplane when you go to the airport, right? All right, be very clear on that. When we need to trust Christ as our personal Savior before we get saved. And so during that time, there were so many, there was dead orthodoxy. They were following church things without the life. And when Jonathan Edwards preached, you know, in the accounts of surprising conversions, if you will read, many people who were spent times in the pub closed down. The taverns of those days closed down. Okay? If you genuinely are Christians, you will leave the drinking scene. You will. If not, there is something wrong with the way you understand holiness. And when you, and during that time when Jonathan Edwards preached, people left their sins and went to Jesus Christ. There were more people in the preacher's house than in the taverns. The taverns closed down. That's revival. That's genuine obedience to God. The people were not willing to stay with sin anymore. I've got to get out. I need to go to Christ. Jonathan Edwards was a monotone preacher, but the power was in the word of God. It's not in the preacher. It's not in Brother Johnny. Not in any man. The preacher is in the word of God and in the Holy Spirit when we allow him to perform. So today, if you hear the word of God, are you willing to allow God to change you? There is power in the word of God, not the preacher. For the word of God is quick and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the dividing asunder and soul and spirit, bones and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Some of you know there is sin in your life, and God wants you to deal with that sin. But if you will not, then the life will remain unchanged. But God in His love calls to us. Hearing the word of God without performing is self-deception. Performing, listening to the word of God without doing the word leaves our lives unchanged. But look at verse 25, our last point. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, referring to the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Point number three, hearing the word of God and obeying it brings blessings. Brings blessings. What blessings does it bring? Number one, it brings a blessing of reward. The Bible says, Psalm 19, verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them, the word of God, is great reward. There's a blessing of joy, John chapter 13, verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Not happy are ye if ye hear them. You know, you can hear thousands of messages on sermon audio, you can hear it. But you know what? You are responsible, Christian, for every message you hear. Because God wants to change you through that message. There is a blessing of reward. There's a blessing of joy. Romans 2 verse 13. There's a blessing of justification before God. That when we obey the Bible, we are justified. You know what's justified? It's God looking at you as if you have never sinned. How many of you are without sin in this room? Put up your hand. All of us are sinners. Did you realize that when you became Christian, you took off the evil, filthy, sinful clothing you have? You take it off. The Lord Jesus puts on His holy garments on you. And when God looks at you, it's just as if you have never sinned. I don't know about you. That's a wonderful thing. Brother Johnny, how is that possible? Imagine someone who is on death row. Someone who has to pay the price of that sin. He has done that sin. He has committed that sin. But someone else comes and pays for that sin. Now, if another person pays for this, let's say B dies for A, who has sinned, but B hasn't, and B dies for A, does A still have to pay for that crime? No, he walks free. That is the testimony of every Christian. That is the testimony of every Christian. You can be so guilty at every sin you've committed, but when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he does? He says, if you're willing to confess your sin, I will forgive them. And it's as if you have never sinned. If you have a guilty conscience today and you would come to Christ and say, God, forgive me, and I'm willing, Lord, to follow what you tell me, God says, all right, I will clean you up. It's as if you have never sinned before God. That is our salvation. The blessing of justification before God. I don't know about you. One day all of us will stand before God. Will you be standing before God justified without sin? Or will you be carrying your own sin and saying, no, I want to be a better person? Then we also have the blessing of knowing we are Christians. In 1 John 2 verse 3, hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments. Salvation brings an automatic willingness to obey God's word. Blessing of knowing we are saved. The word of God is perfect. There is nothing more perfect than the word of God. And it is able to convert us. Do you know that the Bible sets you free? The Bible, James said, it is the perfect law of liberty. There's nothing more perfect than the Bible. A lot of Christians think this way. Well, I go to your church, huh? You preach the Bible. So many things to listen to, so many things to obey. Wow, your church are so legalistic. You know what's the meaning of legalistic? The word legalistic in the Bible means you add something to salvation. Just like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, oh, you cannot go to heaven unless you are baptized. Oh, you cannot go to heaven unless you give your tithes to church. That's legalism. Okay? And so when you come to a place that preaches the Bible all the time, you say, wow, I've got so many rules to follow. It's interesting because the Bible says this rule actually sets you free. It actually makes you free. Okay? Now, how does that work? The Bible says in John 8:32, listen to the scriptures, and ye shall know the truth. The truth will set you free, right? No. The truth doesn't set you free. The truth makes you free. There's a difference. A bird that is kept in a cage, and I open the cage, I set the bird free. He is free. But he might die later on because he cannot find food. But when Jesus makes us free, he gives us not only the freedom to live, he gives us everything you need to live. It makes you free to live. You know, some people will say this, you know, the Bible does set me free, but you know, I feel trapped by my attitudes. And I've often heard people say this, I'm like that. I can't change. Can I say this? It's not that you can't change. You refuse to change. That's the real problem. And I believe that God is talking, James is talking to these people, saying, you guys, that's why when you go to James chapter 2, talk about prejudice, talk about faith without works is dead. James began to unravel the heart. Look, change is always possible for anyone who is willing for change. Amen. Anyone. And if everyone in prison today can change, they need two things. One, a will. Number two, someone to really help them change. There is no one in this world that can help people change more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. It's a refusal to change, not an inability to change. A wanting to keep to our ways and not willing to surrender to God. God's truth makes people free. I give you four examples. Number one, it set the woman at the well free from her adultery. Remember the woman at the well? She was caught in adultery by Jesus. Jesus did have to say, bring your husband. I've got no husband. She said, right, you don't have husband because you've got five. Wow. That proves that Jesus is God. But you know what? The woman didn't say, "You are. You think you're so smart." Did he say that? No, he didn't. He was convicted by her sin, and guess what? She became a soul winner. Her entire city became Christians. Because, can you imagine if you're an adulterer, you know, do you know when she went to collect the water? In the middle of the day. The Jewish people in those days always collect water in the morning, just like in ancient China. Because in the morning, to wash face, cook. They will collect water in the morning. You know why she went at noontime? So that she will not go to the well and hear the gossip of all the people. This guy, this lady. She was trying to hide because of her sin. But when she became a Christian, Jesus set her free from her sinful guilt. And she was able to say, "Look, this man told me all that I've ever did. Is this not the Messiah?" And she went to the people, and the people trusted Christ. She set the woman free from her sin of adultery. It set the demoniac free from the enslavement of the legion. 7,000 demons in this person. Jesus set him free. And he said, you know, after he's, the Bible says when he was set free, the Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind. Anyone who rebels against the word of God is not in your right mind. If you disobey your parents, you are not in your right mind. Because you are, you know why you're not in your right mind? You are fighting the love of God through your parents. You are fighting the authority that God has put over you to protect and take care of you. And that's why when this demoniac was saved, he was clothed. Firstly, modesty. He began to dress properly. Number two, he was in his right mind. And he was able to communicate. And guess what? He had a love for Jesus. Remember, Jesus wanted to leave and he said, "Lord, can I be with you?" But number four, he had a desire to obey. Jesus says, "No, go home to your friends and your family and tell them what good things, great things God has done for you." Guess what? He went back. The Bible says, Mark chapter 5, verse 20, he went back to preach in Decapolis. Decapolis city, he went back to preach the gospel. He became a missionary. He said, "I'm not just going to tell my family about Christ. I'm going to tell everyone what Jesus did for me." Jesus set him free. He set Zacchaeus free from his covetousness. Remember Zacchaeus? The chief of tax collectors. And when Jesus came to his house, he said, "Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anyone, I pay him back four times." You know, it's so wonderful to repeat that story. Zacchaeus, in the Old Testament law, when you confess a sin of stealing, you're only required to pay back two times. If you're caught without confession, you're required to pay back four times. You know what Zacchaeus did? "I confess my sin. I only require to pay back two times. But you know, Lord, I'm going to pay back everything that I've owned." People, God changed. He set him free from his covetousness. He set Cornelius free from his religion without eternal life. There are many people with religion today, but they are not going to heaven. If you read Acts chapter 10, God had to send Peter to show him the gospel. The word of God is a law. And the law is to be obeyed. It is only true obedience to the law that will set us free. "Brother Johnny, I don't understand that. I have to obey law and I'm trapped. What?" Recently, I heard a story of an individual who knew he was not supposed to bring a camera phone into his NS camp. He's not supposed to bring a camera phone. Okay? He knew that it was against the law in the camp. He brought it in anyway. Guess what happened? As a result, he was caught. He was confined. So rather coming out at 5:30 on a Friday, he came out 5:30 on a Saturday. He was being confined for an additional 24 hours simply because he disobeyed a rule. But those people who say, "Yes, sir, no camera phone, sir, I didn't bring." Those people who obeyed the law were set free at 5:30 on Friday. I can tell you, if you're in the army or NS or wherever, and Monday to Friday you're trapped, you want to be out of there as soon as you can, amen. But you know what? The freedom was received not by not obeying the law. It was by, you were set free by obeying what is right. Just because you think, "You know, I need freedom to do what I want." You know what? You can do what you want. Teenagers, you can do what you want without listening to that mom or whoever that gives you instruction. You can do what you want. You can do all kinds of immoral things. You can do all you want. Guess what? You have a choice of doing what you want, but you have no choice of consequences. That was what James said as well. And God wants us to learn only when we would listen to what God says and do it, it will bring us the blessings. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. How do we receive blessings from God in everything that we do? In verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but doer of the work, he shall be blessed in his deed. This is important. I'm finishing. How do we receive God's blessings as Christians? Number one, pay attention to the word of God. The word looketh in the Bible there means to stoop down, bend over. When you see the word mirror in the Bible, don't think of your mirror in your kitchen or in your bathroom. The one that once you look, sometimes you get scared by what you look because it is so clear. Okay? During those days, they don't have that kind of mirror. They have what we call polished metal. When you have polished metal, sometimes it's very hard to actually see the reflection on polished metal unless you pay proper attention to it. Does it make sense? Most of us as Christians, I can guarantee probably more than half of you, when you leave home, you will never again take that notes again. You know why? I'm encourage you not to be a forgetful hearer. Listen to the message on the internet, review it, and ask God, what is it that you want me to do? Look at the word of God carefully. I'm giving you even the meaning of the word. Looketh now means to stoop down, bend over. We need to pay attention to God's word. Because I can guarantee you, 1 hour from now, the word of God won't be in your mind anymore. You know why? You're hungry. You got to run to this birthday, this first month birthday party. You got to just. How many of us don't sleep on Sunday afternoons? For next year. We forget. We need to pay attention to the word of God. Number one. Number two, you need to persevere in the word of God. The Bible says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. The word continueth means to be permanently abiding in. Continueth in. Continueth in. In other words, every time you hear the word of God, when you study it, when you meditate it upon it, you make it part and parcel of your life. The reason why the early church grew was because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, then they that gladly welcomed the word were baptized, and same day were added unto them 3,000 souls, and they continued what? Steadfastly. They permanently abide every time the apostle actually heard the word of God, spoke the word of God, they were actually jotted down. I heard a message once about this U.S. businessman who was in the church in China, and he was sitting beside in China. I'm not sure whether the lady was in China or in the U.S. But this lady, he was in church in the U.S. U.S. businessman was just sitting beside this China lady, and as she was listening to the message, she was looking across to this lady, and this lady was basically every word that the preacher was, he was writing it down. And later on, the man after the service just spoke to her and said, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't offend you, but I could see that you were very intent on hearing God's word. And he said, may I ask, where do you get the enthusiasm from? You know, I'm not too sure all the background to this lady. He says, I had a Bible, but when in my country they came, they destroyed my house. I wanted to surrender my Bible and said, no, you can take everything from this house, but not my Bible. They caught her. They took the Bible page by page and they burnt it in front of her. And later on, they put her in the public place and they put her spread-eagled and with hammer smash her hands and her feet. And she was in that condition because of the love of the Bible. And this man said, look, would you like a Bible? If you come to my house, I can give you a Bible. And she said, can I really have a Bible? We have Bible in our phones, our computers, in our houses. We have more Bibles than we care to. There are some Bibles we don't even read. Are we continuing in the Word? Can I tell you, as pastor, some of you will never grow because you will not want God to tell you what to do. Some of us, I'm saying it kindly, you hear God's Word day in, day out in the church, in your Bible reading, but you need to come to a point and say, God, if that's what you say, I'm going to let that sin go. Lord, if drinking is sin, I'm not going to drink anymore. Lord, if immorality, watching it on video or what is wrong, and God says it is, it's sin against God, and Jesus died for that sin. Lord, if that's what it means, I'm surrendering it. God wants us to grow. There was a church that Paul built. I know the early church grew, but there was a church that Paul built. In 52, it started to sprout. In AD 56, it started to get rid of the sins in their lives in this particular church. In AD 57, it started to nurture the Christians, and they were growing, and they were fighting the faith, and they were strong. In AD 62, they were watering, and the Christians were growing, and by AD 66, they were producing fruit, and these Christians were really growing. But then 30 years later, it started to wilt. It started to wilt because in AD 96, during the reign of the Emperor Domitian, which was one of the emperors who hated Christians, they began to murder Christians and kill them. And so the church began to be so paranoid about error and sin, and they were trying to protect themselves, but because there was something that was missing in their lives, even though they were trying to do God's word, they started to wilt because there was one area of their life that was a problem. The church at Ephesus, God says, I know your works, but I have somewhat against you, but because ye have left your first love. You have left your first love. Love for God, love for the brethren, and love for the world. And every time we lose love for God, we will lose love for the brethren. And if you cannot even love for the brethren, we will not even talk about love for the lost. It was AD 200 that the church of Ephesus vanished from the pages of history because they did not continue in the word. We need to be persevering, continuing, number one. We need to doing the work. It's interesting because the Bible verse in James chapter 1 says, he being not a hearer, forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. You know what is the work? The work is the work that God wants you to do. In other words, is God coming to your heart and say, there's a sin in your life, you need to get rid of that. That is your work. That is what James is talking about. In the doer of the work, when God's Holy Spirit reveals to us that this is the thing that you need to deal with or to grow from, and you need to put this in more, you need to be more disciplined, you need to let go of certain anger in your life, you need to be kinder or forgiving or be more helpful, and God says that is the work he's talking about. He's not talking about general work, he's talking about the work that God is specifically telling you in your life. If God says, believe and be baptized, do the work. If God says, if you're not saved as a Christian, God says, be saved, that's the work. If as children, God says, obey your parents, that's the work. And if you walk out this room and do not do the work, you will be a forgetful hearer. That's why we are the same day in, day out after we hear the word, because we are not doer of the work. And that's what James is referring to. Study it for yourself. James says, look, when I speak, there's certain things that God wants us to do at that time. And if we walk out, we will forget all about what God wants us to do. If God is asking you to give up certain sin in your life, and you don't do it, that's why you're holding on. And that's why you always be under the guilt. The work that God wants may be faithful to the Lord, attracting, loving, forgiving, obedience, respect for authority. That's the work God wants us to do. And as we do it, God will bless you. I don't know about you, the greatest blessing is when you identify a sin in your life and you confess that to God and understand God forgave you and you can move forward. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to continue. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "What this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." There was an old Indian chief, who was talking to a missionary one time. He said, "White man, I don't want to read Bible anymore." The missionary said, "Why, sir? Why do you want to stop? I have been reading Bible for many moons. It is not happening in my life." And this missionary said, "All right, chief, do you have a basket that I can borrow from you?" "Oh, yeah?" He said, "Yes, I have a basket." "And took the basket. What you want me to do?" And the missionary said, "Chief, would you mind just going down and fetch some water from the pond, from the river?" "White man, you crazy. But never mind, I listen." So he went down, he took out the water. By the time he reached the missionary, "White man, see, you crazy, no water. Now go down again." And after about 3 or 4 times going up and down, say, "White man, me angry. You want to die?" No, we're just making it up. But at the end of the day, the missionary said, "Look at the basket." Initially, when the white chief, when the Indian chief held the basket, it was dirty in the basket. But because of the repeated times to the pond, missionary said, "Look inside the basket. The basket that once was filthy, now is clean. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking it thereto, according to the word of God." Are you going to have an outcome in your life? God's job is to clean up our lives and make us more and more like Jesus. Our job is to obey Him. If we spend time with Him and say, "God, if that's your will, I'll do it." Our job is to obey Him so that He can work His work in us. And I'm praying that God, at the end of 2015, some of our lives will be changed forever by God's grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this simple message of allowing the outcomes of your word to be so real in our lives. Yes, Lord, there are certain things that only Holy Spirit can do. But I believe with all my heart, sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to do, but we don't want to move. And as a result, Lord, we are like the Christians, the Jews who hear the word but don't obey. Father, I'm not too sure what is the work that you want us as believers to do, but I know that you have a work for all of us to do. Some of us, it could be the removal of pride. Some of us, it could be the removal of selfishness. Some of us, it could be to be increasing the love of God that we have for our family and those of our extended family and those of the people who are being affected, and God, that we want us to reach out. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, who looked at the multitudes and his heart was touched with compassion. And that's why he prayed that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest field. God, it is impossible for us to hear your word and not do anything about it. Lord, there is something that you want us in our hearts to do. And only you, and only we know what is that work. With eyes closed, heads bowed. And I just ask you these questions. Christian, is the Lord speaking to your heart? And you know there is the work that God wants you to do. I can guarantee you, if you don't make a decision, you will forget about it. Is there a sin? Is there something in your life that, "God, you're speaking to me, I need to deal with that"? If that is your, is that is if in your, as a Christian, if you feel that that is what God is speaking to me about, I need to do that work. Would you like, just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? I'll pray for you, that God. Amen, I see those hands. Put it up, put it down, pray in your heart, "God, I will do that work, help me." Is there someone else? 3 brethren have already put up their hands. There's a work that God has asked them to do. Is there someone else? "I have a work that God is pointing to me to do. I need to do it." Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, is there someone else? Your God is speaking to your heart. Is there someone else? All right, I just ask one question. If you're here and not a Christian, and say, "Brother Johnny, I know I need to get saved. And I've been putting it off. I need someone to share with me the gospel that I can get saved today. Is there someone? Don't forget the one. Is there someone like that? That God loves you. He loves you. All He wants to do is to win your soul to Christ and save you. Is there someone like that? I'll pray for you and get someone to share with you. Is there someone? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the brethren that put up their hands, I pray that you will help them to make a decision to do the work that you've told them to do. And I'm praying, Father, that their lives will be changed forever. Changed towards Christ, not for their own glory, not for their own... Sometimes even that change may involve certain trials that will come because people around may not understand why they are doing those things. But I pray, dear Lord, that as they respond to your word, I'm thankful that all across this room there are some people who know what they need to do with you. Heavenly Father, deal with them ever so tenderly and gently as you dealt with us. Lord, how you treated Thomas and Peter, how much love you showed to them as you ministered to them so that they can change to be fearless soul winners later on, and they gave their lives for the faith, but simply because you worked with them, you walked with them, and you loved them. I pray for these brethren that you would help them to experience the same, to obey your word, and leave the consequences to you, because, Lord, you are the author and finisher of their faith. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, and asking you to bless them richly. Lord, even as we close in this service, I ask you to guide every one of us. The Lord, even as we read our Bibles, the Lord, we will be paying attention to it, not just reading it for the sake of reading, to be persevering in it, and Father, to be obeying it specifically. And I pray for every Christian and ambassador. Father, may we all be doers of the word, not hearers only. Father, I pray that we will not deceive ourselves. Father, I pray that our lives will change. And Father, I pray that we will be blessed because you promise blessings to everyone who obey you. Father, I pray for your richest blessings to be upon everyone that as they go home, may the love of Jesus Christ be in their lives. May their families be stronger because of your word. Lord, may the friendships they have with friends and even non-Christian friends be able to see the light of Christ in their lives. I pray, Father, may Ambassador be stronger as we seek to obey you in all that we do. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.